question was asked, can I send my children to public school in India and China and Bangladesh or the United States? And, right, that was your question. So I want to begin, this is one of the most important questions I ever got here. You know, I'm here over a decade. This is one of the most important questions that ever came up. So I appreciate you bringing it up. One of the most important things you'll ever do in your life is bringing up your kids. One of the only things that people do in their lives that actually leaves a mark on the world, that remains beyond their life, is their children. We try to do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, one of the most important things you can do is educate your children. The education you give them is probably the most important decision you're making in your life. Obviously, who you marry is of pivotal importance, and there are other important decisions in life, but people tend to overlook and misestimate the importance of the education of their children. At the end of the day, we become our children's education. People who send their children to Orthodox observant schools end up leading Orthodox observant homes. The kids come home and they bring a parasha sheet, and then you discuss with them, what did you learn in the parasha? And from the time the child is in pre-1A and kindergarten, they come home and they talk to you about, if it's the United States, so they'll talk about Avram's tent and the four entrances to the tent and what it means to do Achnasat Orchim in Sarah's tent and what it means that Sarah had a cloud over her tent and what was the piety and the modestness and the good deeds of Sarah. And as they continue through the year, they'll come home and they'll talk to you about the garments the Kohen wore. And because they're in a Jewish school, so then they're going to want to get dressed up on Purim into positive things like a Kohen Gadol or Mordechai or Esther. I'm not saying there's something terrible about a kid coming home talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it sort of is a totally different atmosphere, and you're missing what you have to give a kid. What happens is the basis of our soul is what we learn as children. Now, the reason that in Machon Meir, and the reason that Chozrim B'Tshuva in general have a hardship with this, is because a Chozel B'Tshuva is the exception. A Chozel B'Tshuva, or a Ger, is the one person in his class, or in his family, or in, like someone said to me, for miles around, that was the only Jew anyone ever saw in their life. But they are the single person who actually made it to Machon Meir and led an Orthodox, or learned to lead an Orthodox observant lifestyle. And people tend to forget that everyone around them did not go this route. The rest of your class in public school, the rest of your family, the rest of the childhood friends you grew up with, most of them, if not all of them, did not end up in Machon Meir and will not end up leading an observant lifestyle. If you think about it, most of the people you know will end up marrying not-Jewish women, even if they are Jewish. It's a very scary thought. Most of the people that come to our conversion program are people whose father is Jewish who married a non-Jewish woman. Now, they come, but what happens to all the people who don't come? They're lost forever. That decision that a person makes about the education of their children should be the decision which is the center axis around which their lives revolve. There is no more important question. The livelihood you make is secondary. When you choose a wife, one of the great mistakes that people make is they think, I'm choosing a wife for me, and they forget I'm choosing a mother for my children. I'm choosing a partner to educate my children. Very often I give a questionnaire in the beginning of our class on the Jewish home, and I ask, describe the woman you're looking for. And after people finish describing it, I write, describe the mother of the children you're looking for. And then I go back and I say, did you think about that when I asked you, describe the woman you're looking for? All too often, people, as they're young, are thinking about the wife they want, the partner they want. But the major thing you're a partner in is the children we hope you will merit to bring up. The central responsibility you have for the decades after marriage is to bring children to the world and raise them in the way of Torah. And so even if that means that a person has to forgo other opportunities, such as volunteering in Bangladesh or helping out the illiterate in China, well, you have a prime responsibility to your children. You're bringing them to the world, and that's one of the great responsibilities you have in life. And everything else revolves around that. There's very little that overrides that. I mean, obviously, there are exceptions. person has health issues and other issues, and there can be really, really tremendous cause for a person to do that. But I want to conclude with a story, okay? A story that has many, many lessons to it, but we'll apply it to what's relevant to us. There was a rabbi who was sitting Shiva. He had lost his father, and he was sitting the 7 days of mourning over his father. And he was sitting in a very Orthodox community, and there were many rabbis who were sitting there visiting him. And as they were all sitting, a woman walks in to give him condolences, and the woman is dressed in a tight-fitting leather outfit. And it was so tight-fitting that everyone in the room started squirming uncomfortably when she walked into the room. And she said her words of condolences and left. And the people weren't sure what to make of it. And the rabbi who was sitting in mourning, the rabbi made a comment. He said, "There goes one of the most pious women that ever called me with questions." So everyone looked in shock. And he told me this story. I don't know if he told them, but he told me the story. I wasn't there. I don't know who the woman is. I wasn't there at the time. But he told me, he says to me, everyone sitting in the room saw a woman dressed very immodestly walk into the room and say words of condolence. But you know who that woman was? She's a woman who didn't grow up with too much background. She doesn't know too much about what Judaism is. And her husband learned in medical school when they got married, and they had a child. And they learned in a pish-posh part of Long Island or something. And every Shabbos, every week or every other week, he would have to intern. He would have to stay on call in the hospital. So she would come with their little boy and spend Shabbos in an apartment they had there next to the hospital so that after he'd do his long shifts, he could come back and go to sleep and be with the family, and they'd have a little bit of family time on Shabbos. That was the time she had off. That was the time they had family time. And then the child reached the age of 5.5 or 6, and she said to her husband, "You know, our little boy, it's nice. He has a beautiful Shabbos out here with you, but he doesn't know what going to shul is. And I don't know too much about Judaism, but what I do know is that a little boy has to know that he's supposed to go to shul on Shabbos. So we have to figure out a solution that our little boy goes to shul on Shabbos." And the only solution they could come up with was that her father would take the little boy to shul on Shabbos, which meant that she would not come out and be with her husband on Shabbos. Every other week when her husband had to stay on call, she would travel out to her parents so that the little boy would go with his grandfather to shul on Shabbos. And she said to her husband, "Look, I think we have to give up on the Shabbosos till you finish this period. It'll be a year, it'll be two, it'll be three, however long it'll take. But this is our responsibility as parents. Our child has to know what it is to go to shul on Shabbos." So the rabbi concluded and said to me, he said, "Look, this woman doesn't know too much about Judaism. But what she does know is that the little boy has to go to shul on Shabbos. And for what she does know, she's willing to give up everything, even the quality time she's supposed to have with her husband. Because she says, this is what I know God wants of me." So she doesn't know about the laws of modesty. She doesn't know about so many other things about Judaism. What she does know, she's super dedicated for, and she's doing everything she can for what she knows it is to be a Jew. So isn't she a very pious woman? But I want to get back to the point. The point is this idea, how responsible we are to give our children that Jewish background, the Jewish experience of growing up in a Jewish community with Jewish friends, with a Jewish educational system. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you bring them up in a Jewish environment, everything will work out perfectly. I'm not saying that you send them to a Jewish school, everything will be great. I'm saying that that's the basic fundamental responsibility you owe your kids. After that, you'll have to deal with the hardships of bringing up children. You have no choice. That's your responsibility. It's part of life. And again, the temptation is huge, especially in Machon Meir, especially when a person has a different background, especially when a person says to himself, "But I did it." Yeah, look around you. Look at all the people who didn't. Look at the statistics. So that's our responsibility. And again, it overrides almost every other dream a person can have. You got to fit everything else into this because that's what you owe your kid.